you're strong enough, no. Do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough, no. But I know that I'll get through this. Cause I know that I am strong. No, I don't need you anymore. 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 Do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough, no. Do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough, no.
Each tear we cry. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. This has been Materialized with Naomi Shamble. I played so many amazing artists this hour. Please check out the ACU playlist on WFMU.org, as I don't have time to back announce. I was so into the music and so into you and so into myself. And I hope we can continue to be aware and intentional in ourselves and in our loves. Until next time, Ask Alan's up next.
Ay, Dios mío.
Hello.
My name is Alan. Getting started is always the trick. Getting rolling. I'm filling in for Jim the Poet. This is another segment, episode, what do we call these things? Of Ask Alan. Advice on any topic. I am unqualified at advice giving, but it's been working out. So give a call, 201-209-9368, 201-209-9368. Hold on, I'm hitting some buttons. Yeah, whatever you got going on in your life, if you want to talk, I'll chat it up with you. It could be big, it could be small. I posted an article that I read last week, the New York Times did a couple of articles about happiness. Hold on, where's my computer? I'm all over the place. Un momento, por favor. Yeah, there was an article by the New York Times ethicist named Kwame Anthony Appiah. And the title of the article was, "Our Idea of Happiness Has Gotten Shallow. Here's How to Deepen It." So just kind of went through this. All tangled up. It went through kind of the takes on the pursuit of bliss and happiness or being content from different perspectives throughout mostly Western history, and how that has changed. And the idea of it was that in modern day capitalist Western society, it's become mostly about accumulation of, you know, money, resources, things, stuff. And when it's deeper than that, it's often soundbitey. Like you get a little clickbait about meditation or whatever the hard work that would go into achieving some sort of state of bliss would be replaced now by either drugs or some surface level pursuit of something deeper. So it was interesting, and it made me think about a book that I read when I was teaching college way back, that was called The Geography of Bliss, and how people are happier in societies in different parts of the world. And and the U.S., in spite of being the richest country in the history of the world, was way down on the list. I think in the high 20s, was nowhere near the top. And many, many poorer, less economically wealthy countries were way higher than us on the scale. So maybe calls about what it means to feel content. Happiness is like, I don't even know how anybody could go through life. Feeling happy, like constantly in a state of bliss, then there's got to be, it's rough out there and life gets hard. So it's nice to be able to enjoy life when you can. So 201-209-9368. We don't have to talk about happiness. We could talk about anything. Ooh, the phones are ringing. Hello, you're on the radio. Who am I speaking to? Hello?
I don't know if you have me in mono or not.
Let me see.
Because I can't hear you. I think you picked up the phone, but I'm not sure.
You can't hear me?
Because I'm not in mono. Did you pick up the phone?
Uh-oh.
Is my phone broken?
Stop talking.
Do you have me on hold? I can't tell because I can't hear you because I'm not in mono.
So this is Jim the Poet, if you haven't noticed. You are.
Hey, this is Jim the Poet. Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, buddy? That mono.
Hey, great show so far.
Thanks. That mono button is problematic.
I can hear myself singing now over the air. That's good.
Good, good, good. So you can hear me, right?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you as well.
I need a lot of help, Alan, as you already know.
I do.
This could take an hour or two, just this phone call.
Well, we have about 10 minutes, so how can I help you?
What's going on? Well, you're mad at me now because I'm not going to the swamp thing. Is it Swamp Thing or Swamp Dog?
So you've gotten off to absolutely... false. See, you, I'm not mad at you. I've never been mad at you.
Well, I don't want you to be mad at me. I mean, now I have issues on Saturday night now because my, the guy who's, I rent the apartment from is coming with his father, and we're going to a couple of Mets games together.
Okay.
So he's coming Saturday night, so I'm going to be there to help out on Saturday night, and then I got to be there Sunday night. But, you know, me and Alan made plans to go to Swamp Dog.
And then Jim the Poet got all, like, freaked out, like, the next day.
I'm still at work, and I've been working nonstop for...
So I got an extra ticket to see Swamp Dog in Queens on Saturday, and it's a daytime show. So I figured maybe I'd ask Jim the Poet. So, you know, we hang out at the station, and he said yes at first, and then the next day he got all, like, weird and was like,
I think it was later that day. And you, I mean, you know, you kind of texted me while I'm at work and stuff like that. And you were like, you kept saying, is that a yes? Is that a yes? Is that a yes?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I did say yes because I was like, well, I don't know. It'll be fun to hang out with Alan. And
well, anyway, he
I don't know much about Swamp Dog.
Right. Well, you could.
I mean, I'm sure Swamp Dog's terrific. I mean, you know, I got no issue with the Swamp Dog. I like Swamp Thing. I like swamps.
So Jim the Poet thought that I was mad at him because he changed his mind. I was not mad at all. I mean, it's a ticket. It's going to be easy to get rid of. As a matter of fact, I almost gave it to Joe Magasco today.
Oh, see, he's a great guy to hang out with.
But he decided to buy his own, so I still...
He bought his own?
I think,
oh, you mean he was already going or whatever?
No, once he found out that...
Once he found out that Swamp Dog was playing, he's like, all right, I'm going to buy my own tickets.
Jim, thanks, you got to let me finish the sentence. It's important for me to be able to at least get one sentence in once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, do what you got to do. It's your show. It's Ask Alan with Alan.
So Jim thought I was mad at him, and he got a little bit, like, feeling bad and feeling guilty.
Well, I'm not trying to let you down. I mean, I feel like a bad wingman. You know, I feel like a bad friend.
Not at all.
I feel like I've let you down.
None of that. You're overreacting. Once you said you don't think it's a good idea for you to go because
well,
you got
too
much.
Well, now I got all these complicated, I was going to go to a Fellini movie, but that's out the window. I was going to, I just haven't had a couple of days in a row where... nothing was expected of me, where I could just lie around and let the day wash over me. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that a delightful feeling sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes to just have absolutely nothing to do is fantastic. And I think that it's going to be nice out Saturday. So
is it? Really? Are we sure about that?
Well, that's what I hear. Yeah.
Is that what Maggie Migraine's saying?
Different show. Different show.
That's a different show? You should listen to that show, too. That's a great show, 6 Degrees with Alan, on Friday mornings at midnight to 3 a.m.
So I'm not mad at you, and I will...
You're not mad at me? I'm not a bad friend? I'm not a bad person?
You're a great
because
friend.
Because of those things?
Anything else you want to talk about other than...
Yeah, I'm still single, so what should I do about that?
You're still single. Well, judging by the way you won't let me finish a sentence... I think we're going back to the same old issue.
You always said I had to listen to people, but I don't know.
I think just giving a night to another person to let them completely express all of their thoughts fully without interrupting them not
all of
once.
Their thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It could be a nice exercise
imagine?
For you. It could be a good exercise.
I mean, I shut up and listen to somebody else for how long?
Uninterrupted until they go silent for at least 10 seconds each time in each conversation. So
how is this like on a roof with a bunch of tequila or what are we talking about?
Whatever it takes. But next time you're engaging in conversation with somebody that you want to date, you're the listener and active listener.
All right, I'm going to try that. I know you got a show next week. I'm going to check in with you next week and see maybe I'm been married in Vegas or married the Pope or something.
This week you're going to actively listen.
I'm going to try to actively listen.
Right. That sounds fantastic. And don't worry about Swamp Dog, but if you decide to go, tickets are still for sale.
All right, well, I'll owe you one. You know, me and you and Tico will go to the Pine Barrens or something like that.
You've been saying that for like 2 years.
Well, it burned down. Weren't we going to go and it was burning?
Then it rained for a week. 201-209-9368. Thanks, man. Thanks, Jim. All right. Call in. Get your fix. Advice on any topic. DIY projects are kind of what I like to, that's where I kind of feel comfortable and confident. A lot of relationship issues seem to make their way into the show. 201-209-9368. You can also go to the playlist and comments board where folks often have their own ideas on what you should be doing about the problems that you bring to the Ask Alan show. So give a call, 201-209-9368. The phone lines are open. And give us a call. Relocation seems to be a thing. Sometimes people are in relationships for a while and one person wants to move. The other person doesn't. How do you deal with that? Caller about a month ago was dating someone new. And they would only listen to prog rock. And she had a much broader scope. So we have another call coming in. Hello, you're on the radio. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, this is Mike.
Hi,
from
Mike. Mike
from
Manhattan. How can I help you today?
Well, my brother died today.
Did that really happen? You're not lying, right?
No, I'm not lying.
Okay, all right.
I've been grieving all day.
Okay.
I'm not in a real fix about it all. I've done a lot of pre-grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But it hit me in a darker side than I thought it would today. He was 15 years older than me. He was a retired general in the U.S. Army.
Wow.
And we were polar opposites politically, but we never talked about politics. And I miss him pretty badly, but I'm wondering how I might proceed.
I'm glad to talk to you. No, I mean, I've had a lot of loss in the past few years, like we all do. You know, my little sister, who is actually me and my older brother are polar opposites. We look alike, but we are opposites.
Right.
But the youngest of four, died two years ago. You know, it was a long, battle with, breast cancer. And, you know, I spent a lot of the last 2 weeks of her life with her in California. So,
right.
So what was your
how old was she?
50.
So you're mid 50s.
Yeah.
I'm
39.
I'm early 70s. He was 88. So his time had come.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, but I'm still. He was the last living immediate relative. So what I've lost is a connection to the rest of my family in the past that they lived before I was even born. So I have no more connection with that to a certain.
What was your relationship like recently? Like you did.
It was good. We went. He was down in D.C. We went down there a lot. My wife and I went down there a lot to help with his care, and it was interesting because you know a retired general wants to be in control of every moment, you know, and he had to relinquish that at the end of his life. And he was very sweetly grateful for everything anybody did for him in his last days. As he lay in a bed, it was a hospice bed in the middle of his living room, and
so he was in his own
really
home.
Quite beautiful in a lot of ways.
He was in his own home.
Yes.
Did he have other family around him or with him?
Oh yeah, his wife of 20 years, I think his third wife of 20 years,
nice.
And his daughter, and my cousin showed up about a half an hour before he died, driving in from Cincinnati. So a lot of it was pretty poetic, but I'm just asking you, I don't know, where to go from here. I'll figure it out along the way. I've had enough life experience too, and we're all Irish, so in time we'll be able to celebrate him in a festive way, I suppose. But I'm still at a grieving point that's kind of sharp right now.
And it was today.
Yeah.
And you're still down in D.C.
Like four hours ago.
Wow. So that you stayed at a hotel while this was all going on?
Or? No. I was back up in New York. He was down in D.C. We were planning to go down next week to continue his care. And I was on a stationary bike at the gym when my cousin called and said, you know, 10 minutes ago, your brother died.
Yeah.
So I left the gym. I couldn't work out today.
Yeah.
I don't know. I laugh about it now, but, you know, a lot of mixed feelings. It's something we all march on from. There's something really poetic and profound about death, and it's always been something pretty special in my family, but I just don't know where I sit right now.
You know,
I can't expect you to come up with anything that's going to spin my head around and set me on my way. I'm just calling to...
Yeah, we're just talking. Yep. I mean, what I do here is that I mean, people die alone, even when they're loved. Sometimes family members can't be around, right? Sometimes people just don't have the emotional wherewithal to be able to be there.
Yes,
often people die in horrible facilities.
Right.
So it sounded like it was as, for lack of a better word, as beautiful.
I know what you're saying. In proper perspective, it was a pretty nice way to go.
Yeah.
And he wasn't panicked about it. He wasn't in pain because hospice performs miracles.
They're
and
incredible.
I can't be more thankful for that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your pointing that out to me.
Yeah. And so did you have other siblings?
I did, but they're all dead.
Yeah. And you said...
My parents are dead. My siblings are dead. So I'm the last one.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hit me so hard today, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Do you have... you said there was a cousin there?
There was a cousin there, and I've got lots of family, lots of nephews and nieces, his kids, my sister and brother's kids, an extended family on my wife's side. Got a lot of support, tons of support.
Do you think there's...
And they all loved him, and they love me, and I'm very grateful for that.
Do you think it's an opportunity to restoke relationships with your extended family to sort
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Making it... just a little bit richer around the whole experience of losing the patriarch, I guess, of our family. So, yeah, everyone's rallied around and gotten a little bit tighter. And that's what happens from my experience from losing other siblings and family. It's a rallying point, and it's really important.
You know, and sometimes it can get really difficult with families. The decision making sometimes it's not always real. It doesn't always go really smoothly. I'm using words like beautiful and smoothly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes families really butt heads at times like these, and it sounds like you're for the extended family all
very fortunate. There are some estranged personalities within the family mix, and it'll be interesting to see how that sort of comes around or reflects during memorials and whatnot. But by and large, it's all pretty tight. It's all pretty positive, and I think it's, you know, in the end, death is a wonderfully beautiful, profound thing that needs to be celebrated and observed. And after today, we got to pull out the high times, you know, and celebrate in a way that brings joy.
It's wild how when it happens, when it's people that are close to you, or even animals that are close to you, just the people or the beings that you love, even though it happens to every single life form on the planet, past, present, future. It's always extremely difficult when it is someone who you really, really love and care about. Right?
You bring up animals. I've had 3 dogs in my life, and I half joke that I grieved more for the dogs than I did for anybody else in my family except my mom.
Yeah.
I did grieve harder for my mom than my dogs, Sam, Lola, and Macy.
Wow.
And but animals can dig way into your heart and leave a stamp there that's pretty crazy. But, you know, in time, we got to move on and embrace the future and, cultivate relationships with people who are younger than you.
Yeah, which could be those family members. You know, I was just thinking that I still find myself randomly doing this. It's not even intentional, but I still talk to my sister all the time when something happens that I know she would have appreciated. She loved this radio station. She was.
Oh, that's interesting.
She was the only person in my family who really understood the nuance of this wacky WFMU. And same with my mom as well. So we have to move on, but those relationships existed, but they don't go away. You may, like, I still think, like, what would me and my niece were going to get a tattoo, WWAED, on our knuckles. What would Anna Lane do? Because sometimes when I'm going through something, I sort of think about, I kind of have a conversation with her. So... those conversations might still happen.
Exactly. You know. Hey, you know what? I'm sure you've got music to play. I really appreciate your time. This has been a lovely conversation, mm-hmm. and it's no bull that you do what you do at this hour. Mm-hmm. And I've got dinner to cook for my wife right now.
Oh, well, so that's awesome.
I should
well,
probably get back to work.
All right, good. good healing, and sorry for your loss. And
Thanks so much. I love WFMU. My family lives in, my daughter and her husband live in Jersey City, over by New Jersey Avenue, and I'm loving WFMU. It's the only music station I listen to.
You should come by and like volunteer or hang out at the station one time, maybe fold some shirts.
Yeah, I don't like that idea so much.
Okay.
That's nice of you to think.
All right, man.
All right, dude.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
All right. This is, I'm filling in for Jim the Poet. The show is called Ask Alan, where I give advice and people actually call and ask me for it. It is important for me to say that I'm not a therapist or anything like that. Just a guy who takes calls on the radio, and hopefully I could be helpful on occasion. So 201-209-9368, 201-209-9368. I have to stop this record from spinning over here. Hold on 1 second. And maybe we'll start this one. Yeah, give a call. Could be anything. Any topic. People are losing jobs. Things, there's a lot of loss out there right now. Healthcare and these so-called cuts are affecting hundreds of thousands, and if not millions of people worldwide, definitely millions of people. So maybe you're being affected by some of the monotony that's taking place in the world of politics, for less lack of a better term. So death, yeah, grieving is something we all think of. I've got a relationship with I've had a lot of pets in my life, but I've never had I've never been as tight with a dog or any animal that I am with my dog Tico. It's just a bond that I can't, just blows my mind. And he's only 2.5, and I already dread the thought of him leaving the planet. But that's a long way from here, so it's not worth mulling. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hey, man.
How's it going? Who am I speaking to?
My name is Dave. I actually called you for advice about 9 months ago about the same subject matter I'm going to ask you about this evening.
Okay, cool. What do you got going on?
When we all spoke, I eventually took a job working for New York State.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember this call, yeah.
It kind of sucks. A toxic work environment. No one's happy. Doesn't pay that much.
You were in a job that you were thinking about leaving, and you weren't sure if you should take the other job. Was that it?
Yeah. Good memory.
And what was the other job that you had at the time?
I was a machinist for a nonprofit.
Right. Okay.
And then I ended up taking machinists for a state job. And while the benefits are great, I'm not happy.
And you also relocated, right?
Say again?
Did you relocate as well?
No, I stayed. I stayed in where we live.
Okay.
Fast forward to us in 2025. I have a job interview at a university in Boston.
Okay.
And I'm going for the interview. It seems like a good fit. They like my resume. However, the thought of living in Boston when the housing market seems ridiculous,
right,
is a little daunting.
What's your? Are you doing this alone, or are you moving with a partner or family? What's your situation?
So, my wife. She's a federal worker.
That's right.
And she is applying for other jobs within the Capital Region. So we talked about possibly going back to being a long-distance relationship for maybe a year or so, and maybe she'll eventually relocate to the Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a lot up in the air.
Yeah, and this state job is just, you absolutely are certain that this isn't gonna, something that feels like it's going to get better or improve or the situation. What do you hate about it?
It's the same thing every day. Like, there's no variety.
Mm-hmm. As far as creative work?
It's maintenance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like there's really no variety whatsoever. You know, I like being creative and using my brain. And at first I figured out the problems. I made the problems go away, but now I'm just like, all right, this is boring and repetitive, mm-hmm. and there's no sign of improvement.
And what about your work, your peers, like the other people you work with?
There's one guy I get along with. Other than that, there's not much. They're nice folks, but like no one I really like. Yes, I want to be best friends with you.
Right.
Except for one.
So you're certain that you want out of this job?
It's not something I'm going to retire on, for
right.
sure.
Right. And the opportunity in Boston, other than the relocating, how does that job look on paper or what you've seen so far?
Better pay, not as good benefits, but, room to grow, variety, working with like-minded, very smart people. It's the job I want, and if, as I said with my wife, if it were like an hour away, I would take it with an heartbeat, but the fact that it's in the Boston area where, you know, yeah. we're not quite sure where to live or how to live is a little, that's the scary part.
That's daunting, yeah. And how far are you from Boston now?
About 3 hours.
Okay, all right. Yeah, and it's a 5 day a week full time job.
Yeah,
the job that you're applying for. Yeah, that's how are things? Do you have kids?
No kids. Okay. Not having kids.
And how are things other than this the work stuff? How are things? If you don't mind me asking, how are things with the wife? How's the relationship?
They're great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like she's my best friend.
Yeah. And and the thought of having a long distance relationship is probably pretty ominous. And
we were before the pandemic. We were in a long distance relationship for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done it before. I'm not thrilled about it, but she's like, "Yeah, we'll be fine." But like, at the same time, God.
Yeah. She like her job?
She did like her job.
Yeah.
But since, you know, no politics involved, things changed. It's been a little not as fun.
Yeah. Okay. And she's going to stick with her job? Or, well, she's going to look for something. She could potentially be looking for something where you go if you go. But in the meantime, she's, you know, just for financial reasons, going to stay where she's at.
Essentially, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Right.
Yeah,
complicated.
Yeah. It sounds like you've done all the mulling over, and I think we kind of had a very similar conversation the last time, right? Like, what do you do? I mean, 3 hours when we say long distance, 3 hour car drive.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so a 3 hour car drive. Isn't as long distance of a relationship as a 5 hour plane ride or, you know, dealing with airports and stuff like that. So you still, could potentially see each other every week, every 2 weeks, right? I don't know. How do you think that would shake out if it was long distance for a while?
I mean, it would get tiring for sure, but like, yeah, it's nice having to curl up someone else to bed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you leaning that way? Are you looking for jobs closer to home as well?
Like, I'm also admittedly being stubborn. Like, I don't, like, this was a, like, remember last time, like, this was a career shift.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to, like, punish myself into something I know I'm not going to be happy with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm networking, the words, networking, like, seeing what's out there in the, like, near where I live. Mm. But, you know, there's only so many positions like that exist.
When is this interview in Boston?
Friday.
This coming Friday, and you're going?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to go. You got to go. And because, you know, what might happen is you might not get the job is one possibility, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but you got to have the opportunity on the table. You have to go pursue it. Because you have to get as many opportunities in your corner as you can. So, yep. And then when would you start? In the fall?
Who knows? You know, like, it's like, I imagine, like, and that too, like, an interview question is, like, with all the federal budget cuts, like, are they still got enough money for research endeavors?
Right. I was going to ask about that. Is your job, at a university, is it in a field that would be at risk? You know, is it a job that you would take and then potentially lose?
I mean, it's not, I mean, these are all very good questions. Like, I don't think it's like federal grant money.
Okay.
Like, I think it's, I don't know. It's a question that definitely needs to be asked during the interview.
Well, I think, I mean, sounds to me, I mean, I don't have any obviously clear-cut answers, but it sounds like you have to pursue the interview. You have to do as well as you can and then look strong and hard for jobs closer to home. It sounds like at least, you know, the positive thing is it sounds like you have a skill set where you're always going to have work in a time when it sounds like it's going to get harder and harder and harder for a lot of people to find work. Right. So, that's good. And, I know what it's like to work in a job that you hate and that you just don't, that you know, you're not going to stay up for a really long time. And that sucks. But I think the only thing you could do is pursue as many opportunities as you can and then see which one, shakes out the best. I think you're going about things exactly the way that you can. I get that it's scary and ominous to have to be in a long distant relationship again in tough times. That possibility is crappy. But I like the idea. I like that your wife sounds pretty positive about it and isn't real down on it. So that's good. That half the partnership is kind of like, we can make this happen. So I guess you got to get more of that in you in case that's where the cookie crumbles, right?
Yeah, she is very positive, which does keep me going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I don't know. It's been good talking to you. I hope this helps. I mean, just keep pursuing as many opportunities as you can, and I hope the right one lands in your lap.
I appreciate your words of wisdom, Alan, and thanks.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right.
All right. Take care, man.
Good luck. Keep hearing a ghost voice behind everything. I don't know, it's something on my board. Anyway, my name's Alan. I'm filling in for Jim the Poet. Thanks, Jim. He bailed on me and the ghost Swamp Dog Show this Saturday. It's okay, Jim. Music of Mind Control with Micah is coming up at 7 p.m. I'll be filling in for Micah next week, doing the same thing. Ask Alan next week at 7 p.m. So 201-209-9368. Hello, you're on the radio. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Scones.
Oh, what's up, Scones?
Scones has a question for Susia. Are you ready? Alan, we'll call you
out. You're definitely a person that I need to say this to. Don't curse.
Okay, you're right. That's a good, yes, good reminder.
Yes.
So, what do you think? If you have blood under your fingernail,
uh-huh.
Does it mean it's definitely going to fall off? Or could it just, like, grow?
Could what grow? The fingernail? You mean what's going to fall off, your finger or the nail?
the nail. Do you think that a fingernail, even if it's got some blood under it, does it have to fall off? Or can it just, like, grow and take the dried blood with it?
I think many times when you have blood under your fingernail, the finger underneath the nail heals, and your fingernail does not fall off. It depends on how did you bust your finger, Scones?
I got bit by a dog.
And did it get infected?
I got antibiotics.
Oh, you did? Wow. So you got bit pretty hard.
Doctor.
Do tell.
I went to an urgent care, so I don't know what kind of doctor, if it was actually a doctor, but I went to an urgent care, and he had said that there was a possibility that the nail could come off.
Okay, and is this and you're pondering this? Is this a problem, or what are the worries? What are your concerns?
Yes, I'm. Oh yeah, well, I play violin with that hand. It's my left hand, middle finger.
Right.
It plays violin still, but there's blood under that nail, and I want to know if I'm going to lose it.
Well, don't force anything. Don't try to like speed things up. You know, don't try to like make the nail come off. Let whatever's going to happen naturally. Right?
Yeah. Do you know, like, I was wondering if there's, like, a sign, like, if within 2 weeks, like, you would feel like it was going to fall off, because it doesn't feel like that. It feels normal.
If it's feeling normal, that's a good thing. Is it feeling less painful?
Yeah, I've been able to play again. It's not hurting as bad.
And you finish your antibiotics?
Just about.
Are you going to finish your antibiotics?
Well, they gave me like 10 days and said I only needed it for 7 days, so I'm going to take a second, you know.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're healing well. So I think...
Yes, I just wanted to know if I could, if you knew, like, you have to lose your nail, or is that just, like, go either way kind of thing?
I have smashed my nail and had blood under it and not lost my nail. So that's the only thing I have
See,
to do.
See, that makes me feel great. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Hi, you're on the radio.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Euro.
Oh, Euro. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. It's good to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
Yeah.
You need advice?
Yes. I've started roller skating just like 3 days ago.
Oh.
Do you have some advice, tips for some roller skating?
Well... okay. I think I do. Well, first of all, the first piece of advice I would give you is the only person I know who is absolutely incredible on roller skates is Susie Hot Rod. So I would probably email her to get better advice. But I do think that it's important you don't want to ever fall backwards on roller skates or roller blades or skateboard. You don't want to fall backwards and hit your head. So I think when you're first learning how to roller skate, I think it's important to bend your knees, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable, and keep your arms at your side. And if you're going to fall, you want to fall forward, not backwards. Because if you fall backwards, it could be a pretty...
Your head will go first.
Yeah, and then no bueno. And so what's going on? Yeah. Have you started roller skating yet?
Yeah, I've started.
And where are you roller skating? Around the neighborhood or like on a park? Where are you roller skating?
Oh, just in the neighborhood on a sidewalk.
You know, people on the comments board, of course, Jim the Poet says, I mean, I'm assuming it's automatically understood that you're wearing a helmet and knee pads?
Yes.
Yeah, and maybe even wrist pads too in case you hit your hands when you fall forward, if you fall?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to wear wrist pads too. Yeah, pad up. Don't roller skate in traffic, right?
Okay.
And knees bent, arms at your side as you're trying to balance yourself because it's going to feel like, it's going to be, you're going to lose your balance sometimes. So having your eyes at your side is going to help you sort of, ride the wave.
Yes. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Cool. Oh, but definitely email Susie Hot Rod for more better advice. All right. Bye. All right. Ask Alan. It's heating up. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Bloody fingernails. Roller skates. job relocation, family loss. Death is we all experience it. You know, I hate to use the word, we're lucky when we get a full life out of a person or being like, you know, my mom was 80 in her late 80s, 87. Lucky to have her that long. So that's the cruel nature of life is you got to feel lucky at times that you don't feel so lucky sometimes. You're on the radio. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, I'm Mike from Buffalo.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
That's pretty good. So, you know, with Mother's Day coming up, I'm kind of conflicted on what I should do for dinner for my mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I was wondering, what would you suggest?
So dinner tonight?
For Mother's Day.
Oh, right. Sunday's Mother's Day, right. Okay. Do you live close to your mom?
Yes.
And are you a good cook?
I wouldn't brag, but others have said I'm pretty good.
You like to cook?
Yes.
And is your mom coming to your house or are you going to her house?
She's coming over to my place.
Right. And do you, how many people are you cooking for?
So it would be me, my fiance, my roommate, and his mom. So 6 people.
Oh, okay. I mean, that changes things. If it's just you and your mom, you could get a little, that means you're going to be spending more time in the kitchen. So, yeah. I guess the obvious question is, what's your mom's favorite thing to eat? But that's something that could also be special. You don't want to just order a pizza you're cooking, so you're not going to just order a pizza. But what is your mom? How old is your mom, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no.
All right, forget it. Don't tell me. Forget it.
I'm so sorry.
Does she have any dietary restrictions?
Not that I know, no. I mean, besides, cold sensitivity on the teeth.
Cold sensitivity?
Yeah, that's about as much as I am aware of, you know.
All right, so no ice pops?
No.
Okay, so what's her, so what were you thinking about? Do you have choices that is it like either this or that?
Oh, I was thinking either doing a rump roast, on the grill, like I would marinate it overnight and then grill it. Or she really likes beef stroganoff. I was thinking of either doing that or, the roast.
Beef stroganoff or a rump roast on a grill?
Yeah. Yeah, with like some veggies and, red potatoes.
And
I'm just indecisive on which one to do. Really.
Oh, so either the beef stroganoff or the, well, it sounds like the stroganoff is harder.
I've never made it.
Oh, and the other one, do you feel more confident with the other one?
Yeah, I've done that one more before, and people really liked it.
And have you made it for your mom before?
No, that's the thing. I don't want to disappoint her, is the thing, you know what I mean?
Well, then you don't want to take a risk with a stroganoff.
Yeah.
But what could you do to make it a little bit more special than usual? So what are you making for dessert?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I think you got to make a special dessert. Something that's like easy to make but absolutely delicious. Like a chocolate mousse or
Ooh. I think, could make a pie.
I mean, are you good with making a crust?
Pillsbury's good at that, so...
Yeah. You could get a good crust that's not, from scratch. That's right. I think... And does your mom like chocolate?
Yes.
Chocolate mousse pie with a whipped cream topping.
Ooh.
And that's your dessert. You're going to go with the rump roast on the grill and then get some good healthy vegetables in there, not just potatoes. Get some nice string beans and green beans and broccoli and... some sautéed cauliflower, carrots, little combo.
Yeah, she likes corn, so I might do some corn on the grill.
Oh, corn on the cob. It's summer. Summer's just kicking in, the warm weather. It's going to be nice this weekend. I like it. Corn on the cob, chocolate mousse pie, rump roast on the grill, and some nice sautéed vegetables or grilled vegetables.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pretty good advice. Thank you.
Have a good night. Hello, you're on the radio.
Oh, hello, Alan. My name is Marie.
Hi, Marie. Where are you calling from?
Hi. Chicago, just outside of Chicago.
Chi-town, baby. Nice.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
Well, you're a man.
I am. Yep. I identify as male, and I am male. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I figured. Yeah. Like if a guy asks you out and you're not interested, I'm a little older now.
Uh huh.
And when this would happen in the past, I might say, well, you know, like my thing is, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to be critical of who they are, but like, you know, I'm not interested in this person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find him attractive.
Right.
Or kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah. You have no interest in this person whatsoever. Yep. I get you. So you're not going to go on a date with him ever.
Well, he kind of caught me off guard, so I didn't know how to respond. And I said, well, yeah, okay.
Ooh, okay.
Let's go for coffee. And so I'm going to do that.
Ooh.
And then I figured I want your advice on what to say. But what I'm planning on saying is, hey, you know, I just want you to know, I'm not interested in anything romantic with you.
Yeah. I mean,
then if he probed me, I would say, I'm sorry, but you're not my type.
I mean, you're going on a date with a guy who you're already planning on breaking up with. And, that's the goal here, is to make this as smooth of a breakup as possible, right? That's what we're...
Well, it's not a breakup.
Right,
we don't have any kind of...
Right, you're going on a first date, but you already know it's going nowhere.
Right, I didn't know how to say no without...
Right.
I didn't really just know how to say no without maybe saying something that would hurt his feelings or be critical, and
right.
I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean... There's all different ways to go. I mean, you could say, you know, there's somebody else. How long ago did he ask you out?
Like about 5 days ago, last Friday.
Okay, so you could say I have an ex-boyfriend that it just keeps going back and forth. You know, I'm completely okay.
You know what?
Okay.
That's what I used to say when I was younger.
I'm completely okay with lying in these situations. You don't want to, like, be like you're a totally uninteresting person and I just didn't know how to say no, so... I'm out here with coffee for you. Or,
no,
I mean,
never say that.
Why even, like, do you think maybe don't even go on the date? Or is it somebody that you're going to see again in the neighborhood and you don't want to, like...
I'll be seeing him again around, you know.
Right.
He's a part of a group and that I see kind of semi-regularly, and I don't want to do anything to get in bad standing with the group. And
right. And
generally, I really don't... You don't want to be critical or anything like that.
Right, so you don't want to be mean. And so I think, you know, is he somebody you think you might even want to be friends with, or not even? You think it's like he's just a boring person?
Maybe.
So, you know, and then that's not even being dishonest. Not that I have a problem with dishonesty in this situation. Like, you know, you could lie to not hurt his feelings and just to make it easier on you. You know, it's too bad. You think it's going to be an uncomfortable, like, coffee, or you think it could just be fine?
No, I think it could just be fine. You know, I think he's a nice guy. I like him. And I think we can shoot the crap.
All right,
around,
so then I think from the beginning you just say this is a friend. This is a friend date. I just need you to know that I have, like, an ex-boyfriend that it goes back and forth, and I can't have more than one thing going on in my life. And but, you know, let's...
You know, that sounds good.
Let's be friends.
All right? But go on, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's just I just need you to know that I just want to be clear that this is just a friend date.
Right. Okay, I love that. That's all
right.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, good
and
luck.
And I think you do a great job.
Thanks.
I really enjoy when you do this.
I appreciate
it. And your radio
it.
Show's great.
I appreciate that. And I'll be doing this again next week for the Music
oh,
of Mind
oh,
Control
yeah.
at
cool.
7 p.m.
So great.
Let us know how
Thanks.
The date goes. Call back and let
okay.
us know how it goes, all right?
All right, I will if I'm home.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, thanks. You
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye. All right. The Music of Mind Control is coming up in about 6 minutes. We got time for another call or two, maybe. Ask Alan, 201-209-9368, 201-209-9368. Thanks, Jim the Poet, for the fill-in. And thanks, Micah, for next week's fill-in. I like doing this show. I don't know. Sometimes it's like Sometimes it's like traumatizing a little bit, but I still like it. Sometimes it's like, wait, why? Who the hell am I to be answering these questions, you know? So this has been fun, but we got a couple more minutes. So 201-209-9368. You can go to the playlist and comments board. If you've been one of the callers, you get a lot more advice than just mine from the wise listeners of WFMU who are out there on the playlist and comments board. So give a call, 201-209-9368. That sucks when you get in a situation saying yes to somebody just because, you know, you don't want to be mean or you don't know how to say no. I think it happens to all of us sometimes, but then you got to have a clean, you know, you got to be direct. Just friends. So hopefully we'll hear how that one worked out. 201-209-9368. There's still time for a couple more calls. Give us a ring. Oh, and they're coming in. They always come in bunches at the end. Hi, you're on the radio. Who am I speaking to?
Alan.
Yay, Zach.
Zachary.
How's it going?
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
You know it just off to Alan. Wow.
You what?
You knew it. It was Zachary.
Yeah.
Alan.
I know that name. What do you got?
Hey, okay. You writing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to revisit, do you like, what's your preferred pattern? I've been asking other writers this.
What do you mean writing?
Do you like ever work backwards or like go from the middle out? Just to look at it a different way and try to, you got any editing methodologies or anything?
Yeah, I mean, at first you just write to write. You don't worry about, you don't start off thinking about grammar or thinking about structure, or you're getting, you know, getting a series of stories out if you're writing one long story. So you write, you know, what they call free writing in college. You just kind of get your ideas out on paper, and then you kind of work, you start to get a feel of what you're working on and structure. You might start to feel the structure as, you know, sometimes the main point of a story comes at the end when you don't even know what you're writing, but then when you get to the very, very end of something, you say, wait a minute, maybe. So often the beginning ends up at the end when you're first starting on something, because you're, you know, some, if you want to sort of start off with a point somewhere. So I think the most important thing is write, just write. Don't think about all of the hindrances like grammar and structure and organization. All of that stuff comes later.
What about editing?
I mean, editing
is great advice, Alan. But what about editing?
Read out loud and slowly to yourself, or have somebody else read it back to you slowly and out loud. Slowly, because you're going to read what you think you wrote, not what you actually wrote.
So you workshop it a bit, is what you're saying.
Yep. Reading out loud and slowly is the workshop. Really slowly. Every
word. That one's percolating to the top with a lot of other people, too.
Touch every word as you're reading with your finger, because otherwise you're going to miss some words. I want to take one more call.
I love it, Alan. Cheers. Have a good night. Thanks,
man. Hi, you're on the radio. You're the last call. What do you got?
Yeah, hi. The three bean salad thing. Where do you stand on it, and how it's the quickest, easiest way to go?
Oh, man. Three beans. You know.
I know. It is. It's one of those things. It's like stones, man. It's hard.
I've had three bean salads, and I never really love them because people always put like onions in them, like raw onions, and I hate raw onions. So the only thing I have to say about a three bean salad is do not put raw onions in it. All right? Because, you know, you're going to use the three beans to your liking, right? You're not going to use any random three beans, right?
But when it comes to the flavoring itself, I mean, you just go for like the quick thing, like an Italian dressing or something more complicated.
I really like garlic, oil, lemon, and then salting and a little extra spices to flavor. But I like keeping it simple. But I really like lemon, salt, garlic.
But shout out to Ken. I think if anyone's going to win the competition for a talk show, you're the man.
Wow. Well, that's
love you a long time.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And good luck with that salad. No onions. Sin saboya.
Adios.
All right. Peace. All right. Well, thanks again to Jim the Poet. Music of Mind Control coming up in 1 minute. Thanks for listening. I'll be here again for Micah next week at 7. And you could catch my show Thursday night at midnight into Friday after Dave the Spaz. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good evening, Starseed. This is the music of Mind Control.